Hello and welcome to America Trends. Thank you for being with us this hour. I'm Amy Fuller. We are going to talk about your travel plans coming up in just a few minutes with Luxury Travel Magazine. You want to get inspired, get some new ideas, or just dream a little? We will chat with them. Also, Ted Harvey, former state senator from Colorado, now with the Committee to Defend the President, the largest pro-Trump PAC in America, will be along to talk about the political headlines of the day, including the border crisis and Jeffrey Epstein. And on that front, I don't know if you've heard what's going on this week, but Michael Volpe, an independent freelance journalist who's been on with us before, talking about foster care system abuses in the United States. He will comment on Jeffrey Epstein because even today during the news conference, some of the authorities said this whole Epstein case, some of it does reach into foster care, they allege, and it has a lot to do with it has something to do with human trafficking and underage young girls being used for illicit sex acts. So just taking a look at the story, it does start with billionaire Jeffrey Epstein today charged with sex trafficking. The new charges brought against him, and he's an American hedge fund manager, does call on him for sex trafficking of underage girls in Florida and New York. The 66-year-old is accused of operating a sex trafficking operation and luring dozens of underage girls to his mansions. This comes after a decade-long effort to arrest him on sex crimes after he took a secret plea deal on similar charges in 2008. Talk about this guy's been going on for years. Prosecutors say Epstein created a vast network of underage victims for him to sexually exploit. They say that in the indictment. And now listen.
Beginning in at least 2002 and continuing until 2005, Epstein is alleged to have abused dozens of victims by causing them to engage in sex acts with him at his mansion in New York and at his estate in Palm Beach, Florida. The victims, all underage girls at the time of the alleged conduct, were given hundreds of dollars in cash after each encounter, either by Epstein or by one of Epstein's employees. The underage girls were initially recruited to provide Epstein with massages and often did so nude or partially nude. These massages became increasingly sexual in nature and would typically include one or more sex acts as specified in the indictment. As alleged, Epstein also paid certain victims to recruit additional girls to be similarly abused.
Epstein faces a combined maximum of 45 years in prison if found guilty, but there is word that he wants to cooperate by naming names so he can get a reduced sentence. Mass deportations of illegal immigrants are apparently on the way for real this time. President Trump says ICE will be the ICE raids will be, quote, starting fairly soon. Administrative officials say they are ready to deport those who have already been told to leave. And there's like a million people in the United States who already have their final removal orders, but who have not left. California Governor Gavin Newsom is asking the federal government for help after a series of earthquakes. That 7.1 magnitude quake that shook California Friday also ripped open a fissure. It was the second strong earthquake to hit the area in under 48 hours. Authorities are urging people to prepare. Just amazing images. And now we want to share some highlights the White House put together of the 4th of July salute to America in D.C. They've edited some really great scenes, and as we head to break, we're going to share some with you.
Together, we are part of one of the greatest stories ever told, the story of America. It is the epic tale of a great nation whose people have risked everything for what they know is right and what they know is true. On this day, 243 years ago, our founding fathers pledged their lives, their fortunes, and their sacred honor to declare independence and defend our God-given rights. We will never forget that we are Americans and the future belongs to us. The spirit of American independence will never fade, never fail, but will reign forever and ever and ever. To every citizen throughout our land, Have a glorious Independence Day. Have a great 4th of July.
Just some beautiful shots from the Salute to America from July 4th. And we are with Ted Harvey, former state senator from Colorado, now head of the largest pro-Trump PAC in America, the Committee to Defend the President. And boy, Senator Ted, I don't know the last time I've seen a president proclaim his love for America. This really did. That speech was just like a Valentine to the United States.
It was an incredible speech, and I think he's getting a lot of accolades because of what an exceptional speech it was. It was not a political speech. It was not a speech about President Trump. It was a speech about Americans and their sacrifice for our freedoms over the history of our country. And I think the flybys were amazing. I think that the music was amazing. I think the whole day was amazing. But what was even more amazing is how the left freaked out and how the media freaked out. And MSN, CNN, none of the major networks covered it. It was only Fox News and C-SPAN that covered it. I think that is more amazing than the president's speech, that they didn't want to give the president any airtime in exercising what the 4th of July is all about, celebrating the independence of this country and our exceptionalism, both militarily and the sacrifices that men and women have given for this country over the years.
Yeah, and there's nothing wrong with that. In fact, there's everything right. And what can you say about the networks not caring except haters gonna hate, right? So silly, but that's that about nails it.
They hate this president. What this showed is that they hate Trump more than they love our country. And I'm starting to question if some of these radical leftists out there even love our country. You look at the Nike thing with the Betsy Ross flag and the fact that Kaepernick came out originally saying that he was going to take a knee because of oppression against blacks by the police. And I'm fully against the police abusing anybody, red, yellow, black, or white. But now you see that it's not just his offense of the police coming after blacks, but he's against the American flag. And I think that speaks more about where the left is right now, that they're not just having a discussion about where America should go. They're having a discussion about we dislike America and everything that it represents, including the flag that you know, so many of our heroes have died trying to protect over the last 200 plus years.
You know, I don't want to take away what it's like to be a minority in this country because everyone has their own experience. But let's face it, a lot of the humans today and going forward, we are a mix of the people who both had slaves and were slaves. It's as simple as that. And if they really want to put their money where their mouths are, why not talk about the fact that there's more slavery in the world today than there ever has been? And why not do something about that?
You know, I'm just frustrated with where the left is today. The left is, I mean, there was a principal down in Florida just this week saying that the Holocaust was not true, and now he's been fired. I mean, the left is trying to rewrite history left and right, whether it is American history and American exceptionalism or whether it is the atrocities that the Nazis have done, the socialists have done in Germany, or whether the communists have done in the Soviet Union or in China. None of that is bad. The only thing that is bad is the United States. And I think it is a sad place in America where the left is. But I think I've been saying this for months now, the moderate Democrats and moderate unaffiliateds out there are going to be looking at where the left is and saying, that's not the JFK Democrat Party of my parents, and that's not who I am, and they're going to start rallying to the president's side. And I think if you look at the polls that have come out over the last week, that is starting to play out, is that the president's approval ratings are going up.
And there's no reason not to approve of and celebrate America's exceptionalism. I'm tired of people apologizing for the great things that have happened here. It's like they feel guilty because other people around the world don't have the benefits, et cetera. But there is a way to come here and become a citizen if you want. And we'll get to the border crisis in a minute. And also, we've done so much to help democracy around the world and help the world. And I love that during the Salute to America, President Trump celebrated these accomplishments, the acts and the very individuals. And it was a nice history lesson. It was a lovely look back, and people need to look at that.
Yep. And the flybys were just incredible.
Oh.
I you know, when the Marines band is playing and the Marine orchestra is playing, and then to see the flybys go by, the Blue Angels and everything, that it was, I you know, it brought me to tears. I'm sure it brought most people to tears that watched it. Unfortunately, not everybody watched it because the other networks were not covering it. But I think that those that showed how many people were there? I mean, I haven't seen the actual numbers, the full number of, but you look at that picture there on the left. There was hundreds of thousands of people there for this event, and I wish, I'm jealous because I wish I would have been there for the event. But the media is not going to cover that. The media is not going to cover that. It's probably one of the largest crowds ever on the Washington Mall. But the president did a great job. And I think, again, what was so wonderful about it is that he did not make it a campaign speech. It was not about Donald Trump. It was not about where we're going. It was more about honoring the sacrifices that have been made in the past that have given us this great country.
Yeah, and to be fair, the other side says, the other side being the haters, they complained about the cost of it and they worried that it would become a campaign thing for President Trump. He's the president of the United States. He's celebrating America. That's it.
Right. Right.
And you don't see people trying to sneak out of this country and sneak into other countries for asylum. I do see people coming here, breaking into our country, then complaining about the conditions. And I don't ha I don't it's not that I don't have a heart. I'm concerned about this nasty stuff going on the border. But what's the administration? What are those Border Patrol agents supposed to do?
Well, I think I again you look at Cortez, you look at all of the other Democrats that have gone down there, and they're not talking about the drug traffickers and the human traffickers and the rapes, the abuses that are going on by the people coming across the border. They're talking about American citizens, American government employees that are trying to defend our borders and calling them the evil ones, rather than pointing out the evil that is truly taking place by the rapists, the drug traffickers, the human traffickers that are coming here. The Democrat Congress people that are going down there right now, they should be ashamed of themselves and they should be thrown out of office because they are not worthy to hold the title of congressman.
Senator Tebb, we're going to hold you over. We're going to talk about the
That's great.
citizenship question on the census. Can the White House prevail with getting that question back on? I think Obama, that administration took it off. Also, the Jeffrey Epstein arrest from this weekend, big press conference today, and he wants to name names. Some big names might be shaking in their boots. We'll talk to Senator Tebb about it right after this on American First. President Trump is trying to reestablish a question about citizenship on the U.S. Census. Apparently, it was taken off by the Obama administration, but was on for most of the 20th century. Senator Ted Harvey is here to talk about this and the Jeffrey Epstein case and anything else that comes up. Welcome back, Senator Ted.
Thank you for having me on. I appreciate it.
Why is this question so controversial?
I have no idea. I would love to have a poll done of the American citizens in this country asking them, do you think that this is an outrageous thing to put on the census? Because I guarantee you it would almost be unanimous that, yes, we should be asking this question on the United States Census. Are you a United States citizen? I would bet that it won't be unanimous because there are probably about I don't know, 250 Congress people in the United States Congress that are Democrats, and maybe 48 senators that are Democrats, and they don't want it. Their political consultants don't want it, and the governors of the states don't want it. And the reason why is because these sanctuary states around the country that have been inviting, encouraging, and promoting illegal immigrants to come to their states benefit from having those illegal immigrants in their state, because when they are counted in the census, then you and I, the taxpayers of America, then are required to send our tax dollars to these sanctuary states to provide federal benefits to these illegal immigrants. And if they're not counted in the census, then these states won't get that money. That's one of the number one reasons why these Democrat politicians want the money, or want this question not on the census. But the other thing is because these states that have 3 million illegal immigrants, like Florida, will have those illegal immigrants counted in the census and help them in determining how many Congress people they will get. And there's 3 million illegal immigrants in California, and there's about 700,000 people per congressional district. That's about, three new congressional districts that Florida, that California gets from a census counting these illegal immigrants. And that number goes towards the Electoral College in determining who the president of the United States will be. So not only does California get more representation in Congress because they have illegal immigrants, but they get more of a vote on the Electoral College, which is taking votes away from me in my state in Colorado, and it's taking away votes for all the other states of the country that aren't sanctuary states, that aren't begging for illegal immigrants to come to these states.
Foreign interference, it's ridiculous. We are
That's
located
exactly right.
in Southern California, and I hear, you know, rational, professional, good people saying, I don't even want to answer the census. I don't want to be counted because they're going to be counting so many illegals. We're going to get more electoral votes for the Democrats.
That's a sad commentary, isn't it?
Of course it is.
If these were 3 million Canadians coming across the border saying they're going to vote for Donald Trump, I guarantee you that the Democrats would want to have the citizenship question put on the ballot. But it's not. It is South Americans, it is Mexicans, it is Central Americans that are coming to the United States. They are going to be part of the sanctuary states that are getting all of this money, and they are going to want to continue to have these resources. And so the Democrats believe they'll continue to vote for the Democrat politicians that gave them these opportunities. So that's the only reason why the Democrats are fighting this. They know they will lose money and they will lose Electoral College votes. And it's all about politics and it's all about tax dollars.
So many layers to this. I just don't know how good Democrats can look themselves in the eye, look in the mirror, when you have things like the illegals who are responsible for so much crime, so many deaths, AVIAC, and there's another group we have on that celebrates and remembers the lives of American citizens and people who are here legally, who were killed by illegals. And then you have all kinds of issues like, for instance, if I don't have health care coverage here in California, I'll be fined. But if an illegal comes here, they get it free. It's so backwards, Senator Ted, and you wonder how long it'll take to get remedied.
Well, I think it will be interesting to see how long California is able to fund their radical socialist programs that they're implementing, because I don't see how they'll have the tax dollars to do it, especially when you see how many employers are actually leaving the state of California. All they're going to have there are the takers. None of the givers are going to be staying in the state.
It's a scary situation. As our president says, we'll see what happens. Okay, the arrest of Jeffrey Epstein over the weekend, and he pleaded not guilty in court today. And apparently, if he was guilty on all the charges allegedly involving minors, sexual encounters with minors, he would get up to 45 years. He is now, the word is, trying to make a deal so he gets under 5 years if he names names. Senator Ted, no one who knows the name Jeffrey Epstein has not heard Bill Clinton's name associated with him, the Lolita Express, the island that they go to, which I'm not going to say what the island's called, but this goes back more than a decade, maybe almost 2 decades.
Well, certainly he should not get off on 5 years. The previous conviction that he had was house arrest. For soliciting minor prostitutes. That was ridiculous, that scam that the Justice Department down in Florida gave him. This guy has, for easily 10 years, has been putting together a sex trafficking of minors for himself and for his very powerful, wealthy friends around the world. And he does have an island down near Puerto Rico that is his private island that people have flown down there to have vacations, and I guess we'll see what those vacations had to deal with as this court case plays out. But many people have said that there are minors that have been trafficked to this island to have sex with these very wealthy and powerful individuals. And we know through flight manifests on Epstein's airplane, that President Clinton has flown down there on that plane to that island more than 25 times. I think it's interesting. I think Ann Coulter came out with a great article today. And I'm not a huge fan of Ann Coulter over the years, but this is a great article, and I encourage your listeners to go read. And it's talking about how the media has covered this up, never mentioned one thing about this. Even when the Florida case went forward and Epstein was found guilty, the media never said one thing about it, not once, because they knew that President Clinton had such close ties to him. Now that he has been arrested, now that a court case went through last week that said all of the court documents in that case in Florida must be made public, there's more of a service to the public to have that information made available than it is to keep it hidden. Then what you see the next week is Epstein being indicted again. I think that the media is now coming out and saying, well, he's got ties to Trump as well. They're trying to cover up and confuse the public for what really has happened here. There are many, many, many very powerful, wealthy people around the world that have been associated with him, Clinton being at the highest level, and they're trying to bring down Trump's name simply because he's seen in a picture with him. Don't fall for what the media is saying. If the media is opening their mouth, you can pretty much rest assured they're lying about the president.
There's a royal too, but also President Trump a couple years ago banned him from Mar-a-Lago because he said that he allegedly, court documents show, he tried to molest a young girl. So President Trump apparently, back when he was just Mr. Trump, cut ties with him. So you're right, such fake news. We need to go to your site, Ted, and write, I know you want to sign up a million people who aren't registered to vote so far. The Committee to Defend the President is where you will find him. Thank you, Senator Ted. Welcome back to America Trends. The arrest of billionaire Jeffrey Epstein over the weekend is shining the light on, well, underage targeting of girls for sex, human trafficking. And today during a press conference, authorities even mentioned how it might be reaching into the foster system. If you've been watching America Trends, you know that we have discussed this at length before, and we have Michael Volpe back with us today. He's a freelance investigative journalist who looks into corruption within the foster care system, how children are taken away from their parents, allegedly, with no really fair dealings, and how some of them do end up in really nefarious places, and corruptions within the courts. There's so many layers to it. And Michael, it almost hurts to say it, and it sounds like a conspiracy theory, but you've been dealing with this for a long time.
Right. Well, as Cheryl Atkinson, a journalist, used to be with CBS, once said, conspiracy is just two or more people planning a crime. If you don't believe there are conspiracies, you're wrong.
There's a reason why they're so, you know, notable, because so many of those conspiracies, we find out later, have the truth has come to light, that there was a reason why people were saying, hey.
Right. I don't believe in theories, but conspiracies absolutely exist. As far as child trafficking in the foster care system, there was a report done by the State Department, and there's an excellent article by Peter Swab at the Epoch Times about it. And this is right from the report. It says, in the United States, traffickers prey upon children in the foster care system. Later on in the same report, recent reports have consistently indicated that a large number of victims of child sex trafficking were at one time in the foster care system. There was a report done, I think it was in 2018, by the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children, which found that either 86 or 88% of children who were sex trafficked, were in the foster care system at one time or another.
Michael, can you say that number again? I'm sorry to interrupt, but can you say that number again?
It's either 86 or 88%. I've seen both numbers used. I'm not sure exactly which one is accurate, but either it's almost 9 in 10 children who are victims of sex trafficking were in the foster care system at one time or another. Look, that makes sense. They don't have parents. They don't have home lives. So they're the most vulnerable.
It's like when prostitutes get raped and left at the side of the road, they people think they can write them off. That they won't, there's no one looking for them. But you're right, these foster children are the most vulnerable, and it's supposed to be foster care, the very name, right?
Right. It's not care at all. It's not care at all. You know, there's a story out of Arizona. The girl just goes by Baby Devani. She was 2 years old, taken out of her home. She was placed with a guy who ran a pornography ring. They finally figured it out. They placed her with another woman. That woman scalded her with scalding water, 80% of her body, claimed that her biological parents were abusing her. I don't think there was very much evidence of that. There was an enormous amount of evidence of the things that happened to her in foster care.
There is no shortage of stories and anecdotes from people that you've interviewed and other journalists like yourself, and I see on Twitter all the time, and people can follow you on Twitter. It's at Mike Volpe, and you're also on Facebook. I want to let people know that. So this Jeffrey Epstein thing, this is probably, there's Twitter. A lot of people have had this guy on their radar, and it's almost like when this news broke today or this weekend that he'd been arrested, it's like, oh, really? You haven't done that yet? What were your thoughts when you heard?
Well, the thing that was interesting to me, I read the indictment. There's a lot of parallels between what he is accused of. And first of all, he's innocent until proven guilty.
Right.
No one should read an indictment at face value. But
right, but he also had these charges in 08 where he took a secret plea deal on similar charges, and people were up in arms over that, and they just wonder, will anything stick this time? So you're right, innocent till proven guilty, but there is a lot to go through.
Right, there's a lot of parallels between him and Robert R. Kelly.
Mm-hmm.
Both were well off, both used a variety of lawyers to get themselves off, and both seemed to have an affinity for very young girls, teenage girls. And I think in both cases, it takes almost two decades before finally justice is going to be served, hopefully in the Kelly case, and then we'll see in the Epstein case. There's some very interesting parallels between those two cases.
They are asking, and there's a number that they've been giving, people who think that they might have been involved with this Epstein, who might have been a victim or alleged victim, to call 1-800-CALL-FBI. And it's one of, I think it's, you hit number four, because these are major crimes, and it's, you hit a number, and this is number four, what they're trying to get, if you want to go straight to report something regarding this. But Michael, this brings it back. Besides foster care, and the people in foster care too, there's a lot of grooming that goes on. There are reports that authorities allege that Epstein used minors to recruit other minors. There's this whole grooming thing that goes on, and when you're that young, once you feel like you've been culpable in something, you feel like there's no turning back. You're no longer a victim, but you're a perpetrator, when really they are such victims.
Correct. What the allegation in Epstein's case is that he would invite girls, often underage, and in many cases, again, according to the indictment, he knew they were underage, and would ask them to give him a massage, and it would sort of go from there. They described it in graphic detail. It's a family show, but he would then use his victims to recruit other victims, and would even pay them finder's fees. And that's how he created this network, again, according to the indictment.
You know, and authorities also allege this guy, rich guy, you know, probably some names they might be familiar with, and they get invited to a mansion in Manhattan or Palm Beach, and they go, and some of the worst things that can happen, and this is how some of these things got started, and it goes back to the early 2000s. That's when they're pinpointing. Who knows the length of time, though?
The indictment goes back to 2002. We'll never know exactly when it started. As far as the famous people, he's been linked to both Bill Clinton and Donald Trump. There's no mention of either in the indictment. People should be careful about linking them. Neither has been accused by any law enforcement authority of doing anything wrong regarding Jeff Epstein. But that's the reason that the case has exploded, is his links to a lot of famous people and powerful people, including two presidents, one former, one current.
It is worth mentioning, too, that Well, again, the authorities are thanking, because journalists can be used both ways, and people like yourself, I think it was a Miami newspaper, they said investigative journalism really helped us break this case. And you will find in some of the reports that Bill Clinton allegedly flew on that plane 26 times. They say President Trump did once. But it's also worth noting that President Trump, I guess a few years back, and there were court documents supporting this, he banned him from Mar-a-Lago because of an incident like this where he assaulted a young girl, and those are in court documents. So, but you're right, we'll see what happens. We've got about, 30 seconds, Michael. Where can people follow you? Because I know you always have cases you're working on.
Right, that's Julie Brown at the Miami Herald, who did great work.
Oh, good, for naming her name. That's really good, yeah.
Yeah, look, I'm all over the place. If you want to support my work, I have four books. The first one is called Prosecutors Gone Wild. The second one, The Definitive Dossier of PTSD and Whistleblowers. Bullied to Death is the third one. And Sandra Grazzini, Rookie in the World's Last Custody Trial is the fourth book.
Michael, we'll be following you, and we'll see you back here again on America Trends with updates on all you're doing. Thank you so much. There is still time to make plans for an amazing destination vacation, and we are chatting this hour with Luxury Travel Magazine to give us some ideas and, oh my gosh, so many great images to look at. We're really pleased to welcome senior contributor to Luxury Travel, Fran Miller, who's going to talk about some of what the magazine offers, some of the recent stories you can catch here at their website, and how it all got started. Fran, welcome to America Trends.
Hi, Amy. Thanks for having me.
Oh, thank you for coming on. I got to tell you, this really sounds like a dream job. How did it happen? How did you get this gig?
It's not a bad gig, I'll admit. I've actually been writing for about a dozen years for local newspapers and magazines. And when my two boys left for college, I kind of decided to kick it up a notch and find a path that would allow my husband and myself to kind of have a little fun. And we're having fun.
So you and your husband get to, you know, have pen, have iPad, we'll travel, and you go check this out for us.
Pretty much, yeah. In fact, on assignment for Luxury Travel Magazine, we both just returned from the island of Lanai, which was fabulous. I highly recommend it. And we were also on Oahu as well. It was just spectacular.
You know, it's so neat. I want to talk to you about all these things, but I'll bet that people really do get into a comfort zone of where they're used to going, and maybe they don't want to go to, you know, international destinations, but you probably give them the 411 on some of the best places to go, some of the culture to learn, some hacks, so when you get there, things are easier. Tell me about that.
Absolutely. LuxuryTravelMagazine.com. It was started by Christine Gray, who I'll give you a little background.
Sure.
She was a travel agent in Beverly Hills to a lot of celebrities and stars. And she started this website about 16 years ago, 2003. And she was sort of in the forefront. She was recognizing the web's ability to bring information to people. For instance, I think Travelocity started in 1996. TripAdvisor started in about 2000. So she was kind of on the cutting edge of presenting this travel information to people. And what she's doing is presenting, as you can see here, just gorgeous photos, gorgeous insider information about destinations worldwide. You can see here, she's got all these tabs. You can narrow it down by hotel, villa, cruise line. She has on her homepage top trends, editor's picks, things that she personally is excited about, hot hotel openings. And it really is just a wonderful venue for people to be inspired, to search for the most up-to-date information, and everything on this site is top-notch. It's all five-star luxury properties.
Well, if she's out of Beverly Hills, she had to have the very best of the best available for the clientele there. So you can't help but have, you know, these amazing destinations in your back pocket. Luxury Travel Magazine, it can be found at luxurytravelmagazine.com. And Fran Miller, whom we're talking to, is a freelance luxury travel feature writer and senior contributor to the magazine. Her beat ranges from Hawaii to Toronto, yeah, with Napa Valley and San Francisco, your specialties. And you've pride yourself, it says, on lyrically capturing a sense of place, allowing readers to vividly imagine the experiences about which you write. I love that you lyrically capture that. That's beautiful. And that's what we really need to sort of glean what these destinations are about. Do you have a favorite, or is there any particular thing trending, or is it just sort of what the consumer might want?
There is a trend these days for luxury hotels and resorts, actually any hotel and resort, to provide experiences. Travelers these days don't just want a room and a swimming pool. They want to immerse themselves in the culture of the location, do something unusual, something they can maybe brag about a little bit on Instagram and social media.
That's
something
a huge part of it, right?
I think so. Just something a little different. For instance, I was on the Big Island of Hawaii this winter and wrote about it for luxurytravelmagazine.com. And one of the experiences that I partook in was salt foraging with the executive chef, Thomas Bellick, who's a French-trained chef, and he took my husband and me out onto the lava rock, and we actually foraged for salt. And that's something that you're not going to find everywhere, and that's something that a resort at that level can offer. And more and more people are looking for those really interesting experiences these days.
So I take it your site and your articles on the site can really help us utilize it to figure out those things. What do we, when we click around, where should we go to first, Fran?
Well, you can, on this website, you can really filter your interests. There are tabs, you know, for hotels, villas, cruises. You can further filter it by whether you want to be lakeside, by the mountains, or in the mountains, or on the beach. And it really narrows down your options. And yes, the writers that Christine employs, we're all pretty well seasoned travel writers. And the whole idea is that these articles provide the reader with a real sense of what it might be like to go to these wonderful places and provide ideas. You know, what's the best spa treatment? What's the best dish at the restaurant, those sorts of things. It's really insider information. And Christine herself she still travels quite a bit and writes quite a bit, and she's very highly regarded in the industry. And to have your location, your cruise line, your hotel resort on luxurytravelmagazine.com is kind of a stamp of approval in the luxury industry.
I love that. Some of the articles look so intriguing. The next big thing in luxury room service. I mean, that has to be something that you'd want to click on. You know, I've heard things, Fran, about people saying it doesn't matter where the room you stay in, because you're going to, you know, you're going to go out and about. But also, I think the room can set sort of the base, the frame of your whole vacation.
Oh, my gosh, Amy. So we're just getting back from Lanai. You know, the island is owned by Larry Ellison of Oracle. He has exquisite taste, and the resort itself was unlike anything I've ever seen. The rooms are just so beautifully designed with beautiful artwork and textures, and the room definitely matters.
I agree, Fran. Well, I know you have a great team, and the users are top-notch. You want to come here and figure things out. And you just have to go. You just have to go to luxurytravelmagazine.com, also on Facebook and Twitter. And, Fran, will you keep us posted on all your company is doing and Christine's company and what the trends are, and come back soon?
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you.
On this day, 243 years ago, our founding fathers pledged their lives, their fortunes, and their sacred honor to declare independence and defend our God-given rights. We will never forget that we are Americans and the future belongs to us. The spirit of American independence will never fade, never fail, but will reign forever and ever and ever. To every citizen throughout our land, have a glorious Independence Day. Have a great 4th of July.
Some more sights and sounds from the Salute to America as President Trump and the nation celebrated our birthday on July 4th. Hey, we want to thank you for being with us and remind you, you can find us 24/7 on our website, U2America.com. Here you go. Take a look. You can click around and find more of our shows on U2 America, The Mothership and Network, The Big Biz Show with Russ and Sully. You've got to catch that show. It's so funny. Coffee with America, The Daily Buzz, Ivanka Daver on Saturday nights. People love her. And then you can click through and find us on social media, Facebook, on U2 America, and we also have an America Trends page. And then Twitter and Instagram and all the usual suspects. So we really hope, Positively Paula, people love to watch that too, one of the favorites. We hope that you will connect with us and be our friend on social media. Also, Biz Talk Radio, we say thank you so much to our listeners there, all our affiliates across the nation and across the world. And you can go there and find some of our past podcasts uploaded so you can stay up to date on everything. We also say thank you to our guest for this hour, Senator Ted Harvey of Colorado. He is now the purveyor of this website and this organization, the Committee to Defend the President. You can go there right now and donate if you support this cause. They are trying to, among other things, there's a donate button. Yeah, you just click right through and boom. It's just pressing buttons. They're doing all the legwork. They are trying to sign up 1 million new voters, unregistered voters, in swing states so they can, you know, push the cause far and wide. And it started as an anti-Hillary PAC, now pro-Trump. So thank you to Senator Ted. Also, Michael Volpe talking about the Jeffrey Epstein case and other chasms where the foster care system, because prosecutors did allege that there were connections to the foster care system in America with this case. And he is monitoring all this, a freelance journalist. Also, LuxuryTravelMagazine.com. Thank you to Frant Miller for giving us the updates on the trending destinations and some of the cool things that this website can offer. So we hope to have her back soon. It really was a lot of fun. Finally, another trending thing, entertainment. The teaser trailer for Mulan, Disney's Mulan, has dropped. It's coming in spring of 2020, and people are really excited about it. As we head out, we wanted to share a bit with you, and we say thank you again for joining us.
We have excellent news. The matchmaker has found you an auspicious match.
It is decided. Come and sit down. It is what is best for our family.
Yes, I will bring honor to us all. Quiet. Composed. Graceful. Disciplined. These are the qualities we see in a good wife. These are the qualities we see in Mulan. It is my duty to fight.